Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
There's no default position where you're not actually still taking a position. Even if you're saying we shouldn't do anything on climate at all, like that's a very clear position and it's very extreme at this point, you know?
It seems to me that the passage of time and the slow unspooling of life is sort of the secret theme of the book underneath all of the passion and intensity and scandal. And I wonder what you guys think about that.
It's very difficult from the clinical examination to identify the specific source of pain when you want to correlate to a specific MRI finding.
Coming up, samples from three podcasts you might like: The Illusionist, Audiobook Club, and Chiropractic Science. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. Are you a word nerd, a phonics fan, a language lover? Well, then you're in luck with this week's first podcast, The Illusionist. Hosted by British writer and broadcaster Helen Saltzman, The Illusionist tackles any and all questions that pertain to the English language, like why are some swear words so much worse than others? Or how has our use of the verb Trump changed since the election of the 45th president? Armed with dry British wit and hundreds and thousands of English words to choose from, Helen and the Illusionist team have set out to make learning fun. If you've ever wondered why we use certain words the way we do, where a word came from, or where a word disappeared to, tune in each week and allow the Illusionist to school you on syntax and vitalize your vocabulary. Check out this clip from a recent episode of The Illusionist titled Alarm Bells. The episode explores the vocabulary surrounding climate change, which is changing as rapidly as the climate it's meant to describe. And Helen here welcomes a number of guest experts to find out which terms are meant to serve which party's interest, industry interference, and how to communicate about climate change in a way that inspires useful action. In this clip, Helen and Robin Webster from Climate Outreach talk about how people from different backgrounds interpret some more extreme climate change terminology.
And also there's this whole thing that happens where the sort of moderate, quote unquote, moderate approach gets cast as basically like not taking a view, you know, like, oh, well, I think we should do something, sure, but I'm not an extreme climate person or I'm not a climate alarmist. But actually, that's still a viewpoint. There's no default position where you're not actually still taking a position. Even if you're saying we shouldn't do anything on climate at all, like that's a very clear position and it's very extreme at this point, you know?
There's a phrase which is often used in the kind of green energy debate, which is like, let's have a green revolution. And I think an interesting thing about that word is it sounds brilliant if you're from a slightly more left-wing political persuasion. But one of the interesting things about the climate change conversation is it's become extremely politically polarised, often for not very good reasons.
This is Robin Webster, Senior Climate Engagement Strategist for the climate communication organisation Climate Outreach.
And the word revolution, if you come from a more conservative perspective, is terribly off-putting. So we could be using language where we talk about continuity, we talk about avoiding waste, we talk about not losing our landscapes. All of that language can be really, really powerful and important to somebody of more conservative political background. But I think people should stop using the word revolution, because it means so much and it shouldn't be used flippantly. And you should think about what it means to people from all sorts of different backgrounds.
So try and use words that suggest a significant change that's a positive one, not a traumatic one.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these words are just thinking about what does this word mean to somebody who's different from me. And it's often very difficult for us to think about that, to just put ourselves simply in someone else's shoes and think, how can I say the same thing in a slightly different way, in a way that's not going to sort of set off all sorts of alarm bells in somebody else's head.
Or not ring any bells in someone else's head, because they have no idea what you're on about.
I am as guilty as any, having worked as a techie professional in this for a long time, of writing those sentences that go, by 2050, the trajectory of the curve will be moving in this and carbon capture and storage. You know, these paragraphs that just mean nothing to nobody, and they're about things which are far away in time, far away in place. We were using these words like sustainability and trajectory and parts per million. And I was like, what on earth is this language? Like, it doesn't say anything.
Parts per million. Yeah. That's the stuff to get the people, up and ready for action.
450 parts per million, let's go.
As well as the specialised technical and scientific vocabulary perhaps being alienating or perplexing or even boring, Robin thinks discussions about climate have often had the wrong focus.
The climate change debate has been couched in a conversation about energy a great deal. And it's true that fossil fuels are the major driver of climate change. Of course, that's scientifically accurate. But part of the other things which are about the way we live our lives, about our relationship with nature, about the things around us on a day-to-day basis, got slightly lost from that conversation. And it became a kind of esoteric debate about development of different sorts of renewable systems, which is very far from what most people want to know about or think about in their daily lives.
That was The Illusionist with Helen Zaltzman. Check out new episodes of The Illusionist every week on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection for the latest word on, well, words. If the virus has you stuck in the house, unable to gather your friends for your monthly book club meeting, Start Here has a simple solution for you. You can become a virtual member of our next podcast, Audio Book Club, from Slate. Membership couldn't be simpler. All you need is a device to listen to podcasts, a copy of that month's book, and an open mind. Listen in every month as Slate's own book critics dissect and discuss some of the day's newest and most important books. Just like a real book club, you can read each monthly selection and tune in as Slate's critics hold lively and sometimes heated debates about the works. Audio Book Club brings you all the best parts of a book club, including the in-depth analysis, multiple points of view, and more. Without the worst part of the book club, trying to come up with something smart for yourself to say. One listen, and you may never go back to a real book club meeting ever again. Here's a snippet from the March installment of Audio Book Club, featuring a discussion of Alan Hollinghurst's The Sparsholt Affair. Slate's Alex Barish, Laura Miller, and Gabriel Roth sit down to discuss the expansive novel, which traces the interconnected histories of a group of gay men from wartime Oxford to 21st century London. In this clip, Gabriel explains what he believes to be a thematic through line which unites the multi-generational saga.
One of the sort of striking things about it is the way in which it follows all of its threads all the way to the end. Mm-hmm. That it seems to be about, at first it seems to be about a passionate tryst at Oxford during the war, and then it seems to be about a sex scandal that happened, I think, in the 1960s. And then it keeps going, and it seems as though we're seeing the aftermath of those things. And then we see the aftermath of the aftermath, and then the aftermath of that, that it keeps going after what you would imagine would be the climax. And it turns out that it's not actually about the climax at all, that actually it's about the constant unfolding process of response and of forgetting and of loss. Mm-hmm. That by the end, the Sparsholt Affair, as we talked about, has been forgotten by a whole generation of people. That by the end, all of the memories of all of the time at Oxford sort of resurface in these small ways that in the end don't seem to mean all of that much to people who are busy getting on with their lives and are trying to stay alive and ultimately dying. And it seems to me that the passage of time and the slow unspooling of life is sort of the secret theme of the book underneath all of the passion and intensity and scandal. And I wonder what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I mean, it may also be worth noting that there are sort of any number of Sparsholt affairs as such, and you spend a portion of the novel kind of trying to work out what the title means, because is the Sparsholt affair that initial encounter with Everett at Oxford? Is it this political scandal? And then there's a point toward the end where Johnny, who is a painter, is doing this gigantic portrait of this rich family, and they're sort of the family's private joke is to refer to the portrait as the Sparsholt affair, because it's like, oh, here we go again, sitting down for this painter Johnny Sparsholt to do our portrait. So the fact that the very title means different things to different people and takes on more or less meaning as time goes on in different contexts was interesting to me.
A sample of Audiobook Club from Slate. Ditch the online dinner parties and stay in for the night with a novel discussion with Audiobook Club, available now on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection via WVXU.org. The human body is as interconnected as it is complicated. If just one thing is out of alignment, it can throw the whole body out of alignment. No one knows this better than chiropractors. And with this week's local featured Cincinnati podcast, you can hear from them directly. Join Dr. Dean Smith, a chiropractor and faculty member at Miami University's Department of Kinesiology and Health, on his show, Chiropractic Science, for a crash course on all things spinal. Each episode, Dr. Smith interviews leading chiropractic researchers from around the world working in many different specialties and practical applications. Spoiler, there's a lot of them. Did you know that horses have chiropractors too? Anyway, with information straight from the mouths of leading experts explained in plain English, Chiropractic Science delivers both a deeper understanding of the evidence behind the practice and lots of useful tips for total body health. And if you're really in need, visit Dr. Dean at his Eaton, Ohio practice, and he'll be sure to set you straight. Onward. Here's a clip, just a sample, from the Chiropractic Science episode featuring Dr. Tua Seeker Jensen. Dr. Jensen graduated from the University of Southern Denmark in the early 2000s and has since devoted his time to assisting patients suffering from back pain by using information drawn from spinal MRIs. In this clip, he discusses the value of multiple MRIs in diagnosing causes and potential solutions to chronic back pain.
What I hear, what I'm translating in my own brain, and this may not be correct, but what I am visualizing is that this, the MRI changes, especially multiple changes, may be telling us a bit of a story, like the history of the person and what they've gone through. And that if you see, if you're seeing multiple imaging findings, particularly at a single segment level, then it's likely probably not an acute thing that just happened, but likely has taken a bit of time, and we could only imagine what, you know, types of things have led to that.
Exactly. And of course, then there is the whole variety of what you do and that as a person. So maybe if you're, I'm sorry to use that analogy, but if you're sort of moving on with a flat tire, and so you run a marathon or something like that, as compared to just sitting in your chair and do sedentary work, there's probably a difference in how that these changes will react to that load that you give them, which, yeah.
Two, are there any history or physical exam findings that a doctor could do or a therapist could do that might predict these multiple MRI findings?
Not that I'm aware of. And it's not that we haven't tried.
I'm sure.
I remember a study many years ago where we tried everything from electric toothbrushes to hammers and different clinical tests to see if we could correlate these clinical tests with particularly MRI findings. But no. And the few studies I've seen published on it reached the same conclusion, that it's very difficult from the clinical examination to identify the specific source of pain when you want to correlate to a specific MRI finding.
In our local podcast spotlight today, it's Chiropractic Science from Miami University's Dr. Dean Smith. Find it now on WVXU.org via the Start Here podcast collection, and get cracking. Sorry, I had to say that. Before we wrap up today, let's do a quick check on the Apple Podcast charts to see what's hot across the country via iTunes charts.net. With the onslaught of COVID-19, that's put the debut of new podcasts, other than Corona-related, on a seeming hiatus. Still, one has managed to break through into the top five. It's called Fake Doctors, Real Friends with Zach and Donald. Join Scrubs co-stars and real-life best friends Zach Braff and Donald Falson for a weekly comedy podcast where they relive the hit TV show one episode at a time. They also connect with Scrubs superfans and feature beloved show cast members for exclusive interviews. That's Fake Doctors, Real Friends from iHeartRadio Podcasts. To learn more about Fake Doctors, Real Friends and the other podcasts we featured today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at wvxu.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.